Perek Yud is called Elo Kelim, and it's about the various dinim of Tzamid Pasil. Now, in order for something to be Tzamid Pasil, remember, the idea of a Tzamid Pasil is that a kli that is properly sealed in an Ohel HaMeis does not allow in the Tumah into the kli, and because of that, anything inside the kli is not in the Ohel HaMeis. But of course, if the kli itself is tame, then it is not matzil in the Ohel HaMeis. That, in fact, was what we talked about in the previous parak about the difference between a kli cheres that an am haaretz might think is tahar, and therefore we don't allow it to be matzil other kelim in a Ohel HaMeis. So what we need to describe is A, what type of kelim; B, what type of glue; in other words, what is considered to be tzamid; what type of covers are considered to be a possible tzamid; and various levels of things one inside of the other. So first of all, the Mishnah tells us the entire list, as we know, of the various kelim which are never going to become tamei, and therefore there's certainly never going to be a problem of their needing to worry about tumah. And that would include if it's made out of avanim, and if it's made out of gilolim, and if it's made out of adoma that's unbaked, and even kli cheres, normally except for the gezerah, which cannot be mekabel tuma from the outside, neter has the same din. Kalim that are made out of bones from a fish, remember, anything from the fish is not mekabel tuma. And the same thing would be true of atzamot, of whales, or anything like that that's in the yam. And a tohar kelim that are not kli cheres, that would be even kli eitz. Over there, those are usable, and it doesn't matter whether we put the tzamid, the psil that is matzmid to it, over the top or over the side. It doesn't matter what their position is, standing upright, upside down, or on their sides. But if they were upside down, then the question is the upside down part that is attached to the ground because of the weight of the container considered to be a tzamid or not? Now, according to the Tanna Kamma, yes, the very fact that gravity pushes it down against the ground means that it is sealed, despite the fact that you don't have any kind of glue. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no tzamid pasil in that case, even though it's perfectly closed, but it's not glued. What type of things will it be matzil? Anything, except in the case of a kli cheres, which beferish, it will not be able to be matzil, because it's not matzil on something that we're cheshesh, that is going to be borrowed by a chaver, and the Talmud Chacham will believe him about Tumas Meis and not realize that he was being semech, that his kli was not tame. That's the kelim. Okay, what type of glue is considered to be a tzamid pasal? You can use plaster, you can use gipses, you can use tar, you can use wax, you can use just moist clay, you can use dung, you can use actual cement, you can use the charsis that we spoke about, which is ground up earthenware. Anything that is able to be smeared and stuck on, but you cannot use it's not considered to be a seal. Even if it's very soft metal, so if you've got some soft tin, or you've got soft lead, it's basically what you're doing is you're taking a piece of aluminum foil and you're closing it up with aluminum foil. Would that be considered to be tzamid pasil? No, because even though it may be pasil, it isn't tzamid. There's no sticking. And since there's no molecular sticking, it doesn't matter how close you get without the molecular bond. And because of that, we do not view that as being sticky. The same thing is true if you want to use something that is sticky, but generally becomes unsticky. Like, let's say you want to use peros or something. Let's say you want to use dates. Because if you do that, in the end, it's going to become easily itself tame, because these are things that are macabre to him. And the moment water falls on it, and then something touches it, so at that point, it's actually going to be tame, and it won't be a usable tame pasil, because anything tame is not matzil. If you used it and you know it wasn't tame, fine. B'diavad, it certainly is not going to become a problem. Suppose you've got something that is sealed, but it isn't really tight, because we want both things. We want seal and we want it to be tight. So suppose you've got a type of cover that's a little bit shaky or something, but it certainly is not able to slip out. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's good enough. The Chachomim say, no, that's not good enough, because by definition, if it's shaky, there's no molecular bond somewhere. How about if you've got this place that you use for picking something up, which is called a Beit Etzba, and you've got a sheretz, a dead sheretz that went into that place, then the whole thing is considered to be inside of the toch, and it was metame the whole thing. If the sheretz is inside of the barrel, then the same thing is true. You're in an area that became tummy from the sheretz, even though the area outside it is still around it, but it penetrated that area. Okay, now we're talking about stoppers. What type of stoppers? So suppose you make yourself a stopper that is made out of, let's say, reeds, right? And you stick it in there. Well, if you use some type of cement around it, then yes. But if you just use the cement to stick it and the whole middle piece is not cemented over, that's not really called a stopper, because it's not airtight at all. I mean, it's all full of holes. You just stripped a bunch of branches together. That's not sealed. You'd have to plaster it all around. Same thing would be true if you used a piece of cloth. But if you used even a piece of paper, that would be. If you tie it around a piece of paper, then again, over there, tying is the same as aluminum foil. You would have to actually glue it. But if you glued it, even though you only glued it from the sides, that's okay, because that piece of paper is not full of holes. Now, how about if you seal something against the inside and not around the top? So let's say you have a rim directly underneath, and you seal it to the rim. So there are cases where maybe it just like got eaten away at the edge, and you've got only the inside waterproofing that is still there, and you attach it to the waterproofing in different cases like that. So Rabbi Yehuda says that is not called a atzol. It has to be from the outside, covering the entire outside, whereas the Chachomim say, no, it just needs to be sealed. It doesn't say it has to go over the outside. Now, what about in the case where you got a hole in a chavis and you need to seal it? And it did seal. It sealed with the actual shimrei yayin. And now it's all stuffed up. And you don't need to do any more than that. That is considered to be stuffed but good. How about if you stick in a vine in it? So then you got the same problem. You're going to have to plaster around the whole thing. As a matter of fact, if you use two vines, you're going to have to plaster not only around, but you're going to have to also plaster in the middle. How about if you take a board and you put it over a barrel that's made or a tanur? So then, again, all you would need to do is glue the outside of the board to the top. But if you got two boards, then you've got to plaster the middle as well. So that's the yisod of what is considered to be. And there are many other cases that it talks about, but the idea is the same. So now the question is, there's another way besides a tzomit pasil of being matzil in an oil hames, and that is where you have a different ohel, not a different kli. So you make an ohel. Now, you can make an ohel by having a tanner that's a tefach, or some kli that's a tefach, and it has a cover on it, then it doesn't have to be a tzomit pasil, because as long as it's an ohel, then one ohel inside of another stops the tumah from coming in. So in order to be an ohel, it's got to have a tefach, al tefach, that is made out of something that is not a kli, right? Because if it's a kli, then it's shaykh to be makabel tumah. Something's a makabel tumah, is not matzil unless it's Amid Pasil. Okay. So now there's also, you'll remember from Sukkah, that where we're makbid on the dover that shakht me bekabel tuma, we're makbid also that it shouldn't be samuch on a dover that's bekabel tuma, right? So because of that, when you make your sukkah and you've got a metal frame for the schach, you put wood over it, so because the metal is shakht me bekabel tuma, whereas the stam stick of wood won't be bekabel tuma. The same thing is true over here. If you have something that is an ohel, but it's samuch on a kli, and the kli is shayach to be mekabel tuma, so then it's just as bad as if the whole thing was shayach to be mekabel tuma. So because of that, the Mishnah goes through various cases where you've got an old tanor inside the new tanor, and now the top, it depends what the top is being held. The new tanor means that it's not yet a kli, you haven't yet fired it up. So over there, it would be a very nice ohel inside of another ohel, but if the serira, which is that top that we talked about many, many times, a plate that's got a hollow, not an open hollow, but it's like a bowl. So if the serira is on top of the tanur, which is inside, then that means that the ohel is being supported by a kli, because the old tanur inside, since it's already been baked, is shayach to Kabbalah Satuma. Okay, so the Mishnah contrasts which one is inside, which one is outside, fine. Then we also have a question of stacking, okay? What if you have stacked kelim and there are inside of one that is in fact, tzomit pasil, but the inside, you've got these lefasin. So lefasin are like we would have the equivalent of lefasin in our Tupperware that sticks one inside of the other. Yeah. But that sticks one inside of the other. Except, of course, over here, in order to get away from the problem of whether Tupperware is mekabel tuma or not, we're talking about over here where you've got earthenware. And they stick one into the other. And the rims are even. And the sheretz is either in the top one or on the lowest one. The din is that they are all tohor, except for the one that it's actually in, because we don't, that's considered to be kli b'toch kli, except the reason we're bringing this here, even though there's nothing to do with what we're talking about until now, is the question of if they have holes. And that was nogea also, what's considered to be stuffed up a hole. So suppose there was a hole in them. So then if it's enough that mashkim are able to be nichnasim, not just yotzim, but even nichnasim, so then if it's in the upper one, they're all considered to be one kind of thing, because that little hole is enough to make it all in the same. Okay, now this is a rather complex situation, and we can't go into the details now. Again, we did it when we learned it, but remember the yesod is this. Sometimes something we're machmer on to be a kli vis-a-vis itself, but we can't call it a kli vis-a-vis something else where that would be a kula. And that's what we get into over here. So remember, even if we want to be machmer on something and say that it's considered to be a kli, that it itself could be a kabel tuma, such as a case like this, where it's got a whole bekones mashka, if we give it a shame of a kli vis-a-vis the other ones, we're going to be meiko, because then we're going to say that it's toch tocho. Remember, toch tocho is only true of kli betoch kli. That's why this comes here. Because when we were talking about an ohel inside of an ohel, it's very, very different from the question over here of whether we're going to call something toch tocho, similar to being matzo from a mason and ohel, or not. So since vis-a-vis itself, you might be machmer to make it a kli, that does not necessarily follow that if that was only a chumra, it would be called toch tocho. So because of that, the Mishnah goes through cases where v'ir b'konis mashka, we need to analyze each one of the kelims. It goes through the different layers, where it would be considered to be a kula, and where it would be considered to be a chumra, and that basically concludes the parak.